You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Torah. I am Rabbi Tzvi Jacobson with NRM Streamcast, and we'll spend our time talking Torah, learning stuff, and having fun while we learn. You can always send your questions and comments to our mailbag at letstalktorah@gmail.com, and of course, I will answer as many as I can. Or, you can go to our webpage at letstalktorah.net, letstalktorah.net, and we have the archives and the new shows and a place for comments and a place for questions and, of course, the all-important donate button. You can hit that donate button. Of course, that will help the show grow and help us continue to do all the good work that we're doing here. And it's, of course, greatly appreciated. And if you need a shout-out, of course, there's a place for that as well. Today is February 29th. Happens every 4 years. All the advertisers, leap day, leap this, leap that, leap the other thing. And, you know, it's one day. We have a whole month. We have a whole month. We are now in the leap month. It's really an interesting question, right? There's two Adars, right? So which is the real one and which is the addition one? So the fact is, we have Purim in the second one. So it would lead you to believe that the first one is the additional one, and the second Adar is the main month, because that's when Purim comes out. Now, there's really, or it could be there is no real Adar. They're just Adar 1 and Adar 2, and no main one, an additional one. It's just two. I'm not sure, but we have a month. Now, of course, we've talked about it before. Mention it quickly. The Jewish calendar and the Arabic calendar are similar in that they go according to the moon. Right? They follow the lunar month. The lunar month is 29 and a half days in a couple of minutes and a couple of seconds. The difference is that in the Jewish calendar, we adjust for the seasons that the holidays come out seasonally. So the Sukkot holiday, right, will come out in the fall, right, at the end of the harvest. And the Passover holiday, coming up soon, will always come out in the spring. First of all, the verse says it has to come out in the spring. And again, it's the holidays are all based around, you don't call it around farming, but to a certain extent it is. They even have the names. It's the holiday of the harvesting and the holiday of the gathering. And so the Chag Osir, Chag Kutzer, Chag Bikurim. So it's definitely true. They're supposed to be seasonal. If you wouldn't readjust, you lose 11 days a year. So after 3 years, you lost a month, right? After 6 years, you lost 2 months. Well, after, 10 years, right? All of a sudden, you're in a totally different season. So if it's important that the Jewish calendar is connected, that the lunar calendar should be connected to the solar calendar, that's the only way to do it. Okay, so this week's Torah portion is Kisisa. And the beginning of the Torah portion, we talk about the Machtzis HaShekel, the half coin. There was a tax, it was really a yearly tax, that everybody had to give this half coin. The shekel was a silver coin, and it was probably like the main coin, like, a dollar bill. And you had to give half to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, in general, to be used for sacrifices. If there was leftovers, they could use it if they need extra sacrifices, if they need to fix the walls, if they need to take care of things in Jerusalem. It was a community. It was really a national tax. I was talking to my accountant today, all kinds of taxing things, and federal and local and Social Security and who knows what. The Mas HaShek was a national tax, a very minuscule tax, after speaking to my accountant today, right? So what could be worth already? A dollar, 50 cents? Like its value was quite small. But everyone gave. Now, not everyone gave. It seems to be connected to people who served in the army. Now, perhaps that's because if you serve in the army, we want to keep an accounting. And we don't count by heads. We're going to talk about that today. We don't count by heads. So how do we keep track? So everybody gives their coin, count up all the coins, and we're good to go. I know now you press a computer and put all the names down and you see in your Excel sheet how many names are there. Yes, very good. But here, it was just a simple way of counting how large your army is. Because we're going to see, we're not into counting. Counting is, for the most part, not a good thing. And all this we're going to talk about, I'm just trying to give us some of the background so we can get ready to talk about all this stuff. Happens to be that the first collection of this Mas HaShek was the only silver collected in the building of the Mishkan of the Tabernacle. Now, you think about it, it's interesting, right? Moses puts out the call, we need donations, and bring in your stuff. We're building the tabernacle and the wood and the materials and the leathers and the gold and the copper. No silver, because silver is money. And this collection was not a money collection. This was a stuff. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This was a stuff collection. So no money. So the only silver coming in was from this collection. Most of it, like the large majority, if there's 600,000, 603,000 and I think 50 people or men that are counted, so you have 300,000 whole coins. So that will, you'll end up, without getting into the details, you'll end up with 100 silver sockets. As each socket is 3,000 coins. You'll end up with 100 coins. That's called it's a certain weight, called a kikar, whatever. And the change would be used for the hooks and some bands in a few places, but not for anything major. The sockets, in other words, we have the beams. The Mishkan is made of these tall wooden boards or beams that are connected on the outside by bars. And there were, I think they call them talons, but there was like little legs or bars sitting out of the bottom, and they would fit into the sockets, and the sockets would hold up the building. So the first Mas HaShek was used for those sockets. Every collection afterwards will be to pay for the public sacrifices. In other words, there's a sheep in the morning and a sheep in the afternoon. That's called the Tamid. On the Sabbath, you have another seven sheep and some other stuff on the new moon, the Rosh Chodesh, and on the holidays. So all the running and the costs for the temple are officially covered by that small tax. And of all the taxes, like, you know, that's like minuscule. It is interesting that King David actually made a mistake. And he counted the Jewish people not using coins. He actually created a census. And because he created that census, there was a plague. Because the verse by us says, if you count by heads, that leads to a plague. So now we got to sit back and think a little bit, what is the problem? The Torah makes a very big deal. We do not count individuals. Even if you ever go to synagogue and they have to make sure there's a quorum of men, they don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. Instead, they have different verses that they use, and each letter represents a number. The famous verse is Hayishiyah Samecho, Verach Zach Lasecho, Rivenas, Mad Ha'olam, right? And you know, you're the Ha'olam person. or believe it or not, the blessing for Hamotzi also happens to have 10 letters, 10 words in it. But we don't count individuals. So Ben Bechaya says, the reason we don't want to count individuals is because for the Jewish people, we are one. We are a whole. We are a unit. Once you count people, you've taken them out of the group and you've created individuals. The Torah doesn't want individuals. And interesting enough, it leads, once we get singled out, it leads to what's called Ayin Hara, the evil eye, and the evil eye from there leads to a plague. So as an example, when Elijah goes to the lady, she was called Isha Shunamis. So this Isha Shunamis built an additional room for Elijah when he, because it seems he came by, he traveled in that city and he stayed by them. And they had a table and a bed and a lamp. And when he saw the new room, he wanted to pay her back. So he sends a message, you know, you've made this beautiful room for me. Do you need something? Maybe you want to speak to the king. Maybe you need to speak to a general. Like, he did me such a big favor, right? You know, I owe you, right? So how can I help you? And she says back, fascinating. She says back, B'soich Ami Anoichi Yoshevis. I live amongst my people. Don't focus on me. I don't want anybody looking at me. I don't want anybody noticing me. I just want to be amongst the Jewish people. I don't need anything. You did it. I wanted to honor you. This concept of not sticking out, we really talk about all the time, right? The idea is not to be showy, not to be noticeable, not to hang humongous chandeliers in your dining room and open the front shade, right? Not to drive around in the fanciest cars, not to build the biggest mansions, right? The blessing, people find blessing when they're modest. Yeah, I live in Detroit. Detroit is beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful. But one of the things is until now at least, people are not ostentatious, if that's how you pronounce it. They're not showy. In their dress, in their cars, in their houses. They know it's important. They know what they want to take care of. And it's true, we're not the richest community, so it's true. But people who need to be showy, besides the fact that it leads to many other issues, but people get jealous. And people get jealous, and then they look at you this way, they look at you that way, and it doesn't lead to good things. So this Ishanama says, I'm amongst my nation. Now, Elijah's attendant says, his name was Gehazi, he says, she has no children. Elijah's promised her a child. She has a child. A few years later, the child gets sick. The child dies. She goes to Elijah. Elijah has to come down and bring the child back to life. That's not the part of the story I'm looking to get into. I just want to point out this concept, this idea that we want to be together. We want to be a unit. We want to be together. And by being together, that accomplishes very, very powerful things. I told my class, we were studying the end of the parasha of Shemos. So Moses comes and asks Pharaoh, it's time to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, nothing doing. What's interesting is, not only does Pharaoh say nothing doing, Pharaoh says, if the people are talking about going out to bring sacrifices, clearly they're not working hard enough. So Pharaoh says, no more straw. Same amount of bricks, no more straw. So I saw an interesting question. If Pharaoh wants them to work harder, why no straw? Just go ahead and say, instead of 20 bricks a day, 40 bricks a day. Instead of 25 bricks a day, 50 bricks a day. You can increase the workload without saying no more straw. Like, why was that the choice? why was that the choice of increasing the labor by just saying no more straw? What was Pharaoh thinking? Let's assume he was thinking. So very interesting. We've talked about this also in the past, a little bit. It's been part of our theme. And that is that the purpose of the slavery for the Jewish people was to teach us an achdus, a togetherness. To be a nation, we have to be one, we have to be together. Pharaoh somehow knew this or understood this. So his intention, whenever he had the chance, was to say, no unity, no togetherness. You bicker, you fight, you argue, you have nothing to do with each other. Even right, when Moses, the first time Moses leaves Egypt, is because they tattletale. Dasan Avirim, tattletale Moses. Hey, we killed the Egyptian. So Moses has to run for his life. And Moses says over there, Rashi comments, he says, now I understand why we're suffering, because we tattletale. We get what we deserve. So the purpose of the Shibud, when Moses comes back, it has to be that they've learned their lesson, and we've learned to be one. We've learned to be together. There's a unity. There's an achdus. So Pharaoh wants like this. Just imagine for a second. If I tell you, instead of 10 bricks a day, you're making 20 bricks a day, or instead of 20 bricks a day, you're making 40 bricks a day. Okay, so however you make your bricks, you sit there, you have your oven, you make your bricks, and it's the same thing every day. But straw, if the Pharaoh is no longer delivering straw, then now we have a totally different problem. Now, you got to run out to the fields for miles, just searching for straw that you can pull out of the ground. So imagine, me and you have been searching, and we both see straw, and we're running for it. And I push you out of the way, and you push me out of the way, and I say, I found it first, and you say, too bad, and you punch me, and I tackle you. Imagine what's going to happen if everybody's running around and fighting to pick up straw. So when all of a sudden there's not enough of something, and we all need it to fulfill our quotas, it leads to fighting. It leads to bickering. It leads to complaining and stealing and all the problems you can imagine. So Pharaoh's idea was really very, very good. They're going to fight over the straw. Because how much straw is there already? You got to run to the fields. And yeah, there's enough straw if you walk far enough. But I found the straw closer. Why can't I take this straw? Why do you deserve it? I should get it. I was up earlier. I'm working harder. You found more. Right? Why can't you help me? There's so many ways. There's so many ways you can fight over straw. So the Jewish people, at this point, what I'm teaching my class, at the end of Shemos, the last 6 months before the plagues begin, they have to be able to run around and collect straw and not fight. And, oh, you saw it first? Please take it. Oh, here, you need some extra, take mine. Right? I think there's some more over there. You know what? I think you saw this first. I'll just walk down the road. I'll find more, which is beautiful, which is what was necessary for the Jewish people to deserve to leave Egypt, because there's going to be this unity. So everything is coming full circle. We don't want to be counted as individuals. We don't want to be counted. You have to know a number. Okay, we'll give you coins. And what kind of coin do we give you? We give you a half coin. Because the Al-Sheikh says, if we give a full coin, so I gave a coin, you gave a coin, we have nothing to do with each other. As soon as each of us give half a coin to create a whole, so we learn out that you need me, I need you, I'm not complete on my own. Until we unite, we're only part. Marriage is the same thing, by the way. Right, the same concept in a marriage, right? It's not husband-wife, it's husband and wife. It's together they create a new whole, right? They were missing till now. Okay, well, you know, my wife says I'm missing a lot of things, but that's okay, right? She has to complete me. So that's the concept. That's the goal. That's what we're looking for. What I'm learning out from this half a shekel, from this half that I give half and you give half, is that we're becoming one. That was the lesson in Egypt. That's the lesson of not counting. That's the lesson of unity. And that, for the most part, is what we learn from the Machzor Shekel. Now, continuing this thought, right, there's another interesting idea. When God told Moses that he's going to collect a half a shekel per, I'm going to say per person, but it's really men over 20 that they're the age of the army. Moses couldn't understand. Medrash says Moses couldn't understand. So God showed him a fiery coin. Okay, so what did Moses understand? And what did a fiery coin answer the question? Right? Like, there's a few places where God has to show Moses something. He couldn't understand the menorah. Great. Too hard to build. Moses didn't understand what the new moon looks like. Great. God shows him the new moon. You know what a half a shekel coin looks like. Right? You know. You can understand what a half a coin is. So if I can understand what a half a coin is, what is troubling Moses? So some say, Chassam Sofer says that Moses says the Jewish people are broken up into many communities. Then he was dealing with 12 tribes, and you can only imagine there were the tribes and there were families within the tribes and families in the families. So today we have communities all over the place. In Europe, there are communities all over the place, right? So how is it possible for so many small groups and communities, how is it possible to be one? That was troubling Moses. He wasn't troubled. He understands what it means to give a half a coin. That was not the problem. The problem was everything we've been saying till now, that everything is to get everyone together, to be one, to be a unit. Moses, how's a half a coin going to do that? Why is giving a half a coin going to create that we're all in it together, we're all one? So God shows Moses a fiery coin. So the Chassam Sofer says that's to show that the concept of being together is part of our nature. And you have to sort of develop that thought. But, you know, fire is, you know, you have all these sticks and it's making a fire, and the fire is all one, right? So what looks like individuals becomes one conflagration, if I said that word right. That's one way of understanding. Avraham Lezhinsk says a little different. Moses has a little coin. A little coin? What can a half a little coin do? Something big. Okay, I understand something big will create unity. Something massive. Something amazing. A little coin? Right? A nickel? A quarter? Half a dollar? What's that going to do? So God shows Moses a fiery coin. Fire is really very fascinating because fire does a lot of things. But fire burns, it's destructive, and fire gives warmth. Right? When we're cold, the weather's been crazy lately. Beginning of the week, I think it was like, I think one day this week was 73 degrees according to my car. Now driving here, we're in the mid-30s. Yesterday, this morning, it was freezing. Right? So you turn on the heat, right? Get in the car, flip on that heat till it's so hot you gotta turn off the heat. Right? So fire burns and fire gives warmth. Coins are the same thing. You can learn from the half a coin. There could be good and there can be evil. And there's a lot of good that can come out of even a small coin. Right? So he says, he takes it a step further. He says, the counting of people is not what leads to a plague. That's not it. Now, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the perhaps evil eye. He's saying the counting is not the problem over here. The problem over here is there's divisiveness. When we don't take the two halves and create wholes, when we want to remain separate, we don't want to get together, we don't want to help each other, we don't want that fire to ignite all of us together, right? That is what leads to the plague. We bicker, we fight, we look at each other, we're jealous of each other. That's the problem that that we have to live with. So now it happens to be nowadays we no longer need the half coin for sacrifices. There's no real national tax anymore. But it happens to be that on Tainus Esther, the fast of Esther, the day before Purim, this year it'll be 2 days because I think you got Shabbos in the way. So we give half a coin, really, of three half coins. It's symbolic. And the idea is we don't have the sacrifices, but instead we have charity. Right? Instead, we're going to give our coins to charity, and that will create the blessing that we need. Still talking about counting. A lot of stuff to talk about counting. A lot of stuff. In any case, so one more thing to think about, and that is, why is God counting us? As God tells Moses, there's a few places. After the golden calf, lit in this week's Torah portion, God is counting the Jewish people. And that was the wrong music. In any case, God knows our number, right? God doesn't have to sit there and start to calculate and try to figure out how many Jewish people there are. So why is he counting? What is the purpose of this counting? So he says the purpose of this counting is... Oh, there goes the music. I tell you what, we're going to get into this question in the next show. But right now, the music is playing. I hope you enjoyed it. Short and sweet. Thank you, of course, to all the wonderful sponsor listeners. You know I can't do it without you. Thank the wonderful production team. We have Alan in the back with us today. I hope I've left you some food for thought. Until next time, I am Rabbi Tzvi Jacobson. You've been listening to Let's Talk Torah on MM Streamcast. Until next time, don't forget to think about it. There's a house.